Welcome to the Drama Teacher Podcast, brought to you by Theater Folk, the Drama Teacher Resource Company. I'm Lindsay Price. Hello. I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Episode 196, and you can find any links to this episode in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode196. And today we are going to talk about fundraising, and specifically fundraising for your program without losing time or your mind. Right? Because that's the thing, I think, where fundraising can get into a real bumpy road. It's the thing that everybody wants to do, but when it just eats up your time and makes you go a little crazy, that's not good for anybody. So our guest does a particular fundraiser twice a year, and it's very successful for her. It's an awesome, low-cost, low-key event. And I think instead of me just talking about it, we should get to the conversation, right? Right. Let's get to it. Hello, everyone. I am here today talking with Ellen Miller. Hello, Ellen.
Hello. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you so much. And you, how are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Fantastic.
Well, you can't ask for more than that. That's the best. Okay. So I like to start by just asking if you would tell everybody where in the world you are situated right now.
I am in Dallas, Texas, and I teach in Plano, Texas, which is just north of Dallas. And I teach at a 9th through 10th grade high school in Plano.
Oh, so you only deal with grade 9s and 10s?
I do, yeah.
And
so
what
it's kind of a different situation in my city.
Yeah, like what is that like? Because do your students get drama in middle school?
They do. We have theater in 6th grade through 7th grade and 8th grade at our middle schools, and then the 6th graders can participate in the shows at the middle school level. And then in 9th and 10th grade, we have a full technical theater course offering and theater course offerings. I teach technical theater 1 and 2, an advanced technical theater class, theater 1 and 2, and an advanced theater class. So we have kind of a full range of offerings at our 9th and 10th grade level.
Yeah, like it almost, and then that's pretty awesome. Then they go off to 11th and 12th. Do you miss not getting them in 11 and 12, or do you like where you are?
I like where I am. You kind of get the best of both worlds. The sophomores still get to kind of take on a leadership position, and you get to really see them grow over 2 years, and then it's cool because we do a lot with our 11th and 12th grade school. We call them senior highs here. And so it's cool to see them grow in an even bigger theater situation in the 11th and 12th grade. So
I would imagine in that situation that leadership really is much different than if you're in a 9 through 12 school, because if you're a grade 10, you are the senior of your school.
Yes.
And you have to sort of, I don't know if mature is the right word, but you have to, you're it.
Yeah. Yeah. I have, 10 officers for my theater department, and, they do everything from running warm-ups during our rehearsals. They plan events for other students. They do the announcements for our school. And they do a lot of kind of building community within our theater department and things like that.
I think that's really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long have you been a drama teacher?
This is my 8th year teaching theater. So.
And what was it about? What connects you to being a drama teacher? Did you like it in high school? Did you want to be an actor? Yeah.
Yeah. I actually started theater in about 5th grade with a program we used to have called Odyssey of the Mind. And then I did theater all through middle school, all through high school. And then I actually have my Bachelor of Fine Arts in Theater Design and then got my teaching certification when I was finishing up college. And then I actually started teaching in August, right after I graduated from college. So.
And why did you decide that with that theater background, that teaching was the road you wanted to go down?
My mom was an educator, and I kind of always, I had a lot of respect for my theater teachers, and they kind of helped me become the person that I am. And I got to do a student direct my senior year of high school, and it just kind of made me really want to give other kids the same kind of experience that I got to have when I was in high school and in college. So,
yeah, I love that. Okay, so we're here talking today about a really interesting fundraising, I guess, idea that you use in your program. So can you just start by explaining that idea just a little bit?
Yeah. So twice a year, we do a performance called Coffee House, and we do one in December, usually the first week in December, and then we do one in May, and it's usually the first Thursday or Friday in May. And it's probably one of the quickest and easiest fundraisers I do all year. I advertise for auditions about 2 weeks before, 2 to 3 weeks before auditions. And I have auditions about 3 weeks before the performance itself. Kids have to come in to auditions with the piece that they want to perform ready to go. I encourage original work. So I have kids who will sing, play piano. They will do original monologues. They will do spoken word pieces they've written. Sometimes they'll do little skits or duet scenes that they've written. And they have to come to the audition completely prepared with their piece. And I tell them, I know that your piece could change a little bit, but what you perform for me at audition should be what you are going to perform at Coffee House. So I do one day of auditions. And then the day before the performance, I do a tech/dress rehearsal. And they have to wear their outfit that they're going to wear to the performance at the tech or dress rehearsal, so I can check and make sure that they're all in dress code and that kind of stuff. And then at the tech or dress rehearsal, we do a sound check to make sure their levels are all set with microphones and that kind of stuff. And then on the performance day, it's usually about hour and a half long performance, and I charge anywhere from $5 to $8 for entry. And then I have my parent organization do baked goods, and we get coffee donated from different Starbucks and Corner Bakery and places like that. And then the parents set up a table with all these desserts, and they say buy donation. And the kids perform. I have an MC. We have kind of a host who kind of leads them through and introduces each act. And they write a little skit with some jokes and stuff like that. And it's just kind of a fun, chill, night. I try to make it feel like it's an open mic night, but because we're in a, educational situation, I couldn't do a true open mic night. I have to kind of, you know, check what they're going to say before they, get up there in front of an audience. So.
Yes. I'm sure that's something that is a rule that has come in because somebody's done something and it's like, ah.
So with, being in an educational situation, I just try to cover all my bases from the get-go. It's the same thing, in class, you know, you always, if a kid's going to perform a monologue or a duet scene or something like that, you always check it before they even get to start rehearsing it in class. And so it's just kind of the same thing. I try to make sure I know what they're going to do before they do it. I mean, you can't control everything that comes out of their mouths, but try to just cover your bases and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it just sounds like, well, first of all, it's an opportunity to perform. it's yes. an opportunity for them to, I quite like the original aspect of it, that it's the opportunity for them to perform something of theirs.
Right.
And then also that it's a pretty low key for on your end too, because I think that's what a lot of teachers fear, is that the fundraiser, which is supposed to be, you know, something helpful, can become overwhelming.
Yeah. And it's the most stress-free event I do all year. I also put on 3 to 4 productions a year and a musical every other year. So this is kind of like an easy, just to kind of, if a show doesn't, you know, if you don't have the ticket attendance that you hoped, it always kind of fills in the gaps, to kind of keep, to raise funds for different things for the department throughout the year.
Well, it might be a nice balance too, if there's a show that, you know, would be really good for your students to do, but you're sure that the audience might not be there, that, as you say, this can fill in some nice gaps.
Yeah, it does. It does, definitely. And some things that I do to kind of create the atmosphere of like a coffee house, I take like different rugs we have in our prop storage and I put them down on the stage. This past year, my students actually performed in what is our orchestra pit. We kind of have a cafetorium type stage where our stage is in our cafeteria, and so they were really up close and personal with the audience, and I take all the lamps that I have in prop storage and in my classroom and set them up on stage, so it kind of gives that glowy warm coffee house feel. Around the holidays, I hang Christmas lights that I get donated from people at the end of the holidays, and hang those up and just kind of create a fun atmosphere for the kids. It's cozy and warm, and put a piano out there, and they really like being able to sit close with the audience and really kind of interact with their parents and their friends and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do some, let's get some details out there. So you said it's usually about an hour and a half. So what does that work out to you in terms of numbers of acts that you're looking for?
I usually have between 15 and 20 acts. Sometimes up to 25. I try to limit it to at the maximum 25. So each act I usually say is about 2 to 4 minutes, 5 minutes. And, the MCs, I try to have them keep it pretty short. I let them do like a little intro and then a little closing. Usually about 20 acts is what I end up with.
And do you, when you are choosing the acts, are you telling those when they audition, it's like, look, I'm looking for a variety, or does it just end up to be a variety?
It usually ends up to be a variety. And I usually end up being able to, I usually have about 20 to 25 kids come out and audition. So I'm usually able to put in most of the kids who audition into the show. I luckily haven't experience where I've had to tell a kid, no, I don't think we'll have space for you this year. I think if I ended up with a lot more kids, I might do 2 nights and do, you know, one night is 25 kids and one night is 25 kids. I found if you have more than 20 to 25 kids performing, it kind of gets a little long and drawn out for the audience. So.
Yeah, for sure. That's kind of nice that not only is it something that is giving kids a chance to perform, but everybody gets to do something.
Yeah. And it's a great performance opportunity for the kids who maybe can't dedicate their time to like a play or a musical where rehearsals are 4 to 6 weeks. Because it's just one day of auditions, and then one day of tech and then the performance, the kids who do, you know, play football and soccer and have after school practices and all that kind of stuff, get to be involved, when a lot of times they are unable to be involved in our, big productions. So
do you find that, like, I find that really odd. I find that really interesting that you might get some kids out in some other areas of the school, maybe not drama kids, to this experience.
Yeah, I actually get a lot of, like, a lot of the kids who, so since we're in Texas, football is really big here, and we have a huge marching band, and we have a drill team. And so the drill team girls rehearse every day after school from 4:30 to 6:30, which is the same time we have our rehearsals. And so they aren't able to do theater shows because they have rehearsals every day. Same with any of my students who are cheerleaders, play soccer after school, that kind of stuff. Since they have practice at the same time, they're usually not able to make it to a rehearsal. And aren't able to do the shows, but they still want to perform and kind of want to have that drama experience. So this kind of gives them that experience.
Yeah, for sure. And how much money do you usually raise?
I usually raise between about $500 to $1,000. It depends on the number of acts usually, and it also depends on what we set our ticket price at. So if it's we've had sometimes where it's $5. I think this year we're going to try $8 and see how that goes. Just kind of to see and include, we may do $8, but the coffee and desserts are included and not by donation and that kind of stuff to see how it kind of works out this year. So,
well, you might as well like not tinker with the format, but experiment with the format.
Yeah.
And see what your folks will do. Again, it's kind of a low risk opportunity to do that.
Yeah, there's no upfront cost to it whatsoever. And especially when the kids are writing original work, you don't have rights to worry about because the kids are creating the work they're performing. So that really helps out a lot. And I don't, like for decorations and stuff like that, I pull from what I have and don't really purchase anything. And then we don't do like show posters or anything like that. I have kids hand draw out like with Sharpie, like little mini posters, and then, we photocopy them and put them all over the school. So it kind of has that like homemade, open mic night kind of feel. So
where did this idea come from for you? Is it something you did or something you heard about or?
I just kind of came up with it one year, my second year at this school, just kind of as a fun, we started it around the holidays as a fun kind of holiday themed, event for the kids and for the kids who really wanted to do shows but weren't able to. So we don't do a talent show through the theater department. So this was kind of a way that a non-competitive talent show almost, but more drama and theater based.
So you've been doing this for a number of years now. What would you say in this, in your experience with this, what are some of the pitfalls of putting on a show like this?
I think the only difficult thing really is kids who don't usually perform. Sometimes they'll get nervous and, you have that little bit of stage fright. And, I've had one, I think, just freak out so much that they just didn't perform and we just kind of had to move on. But other than that, I really haven't had any real difficulty with the performance itself. It's relatively easy to put together, and like I said before, it's very low stress. So I think sometimes the only difficult thing is our schedule is so busy and finding the time to actually have the performance.
What about when the kids come to audition? Have you ever had the situation where their piece isn't ready to be performed and they say, oh, I'm going to do it? Or do they come in and maybe they don't have a lot of experience and it isn't quite up to snuff? Has that ever happened?
It does sometimes. And in those cases, I give the kids opportunities to come in and work with me before or after school. Or during their lunch or study hall. And sometimes they'll practice for you. The kids who I have in class, I give them the opportunity to rehearse in class a little bit and perform for their peers. prior to the performance. And then, like I said, I try to give them that opportunity during lunch or study hall a lot of times, especially those kids who can't come in after school. And they really enjoy that because then they get to come in and, you know, hang out with their theater teacher during their lunchtime. So.
Awesome. That's a great idea. Okay. So as we wrap up here, so someone who's listening to this has never done this kind of thing before. What would a couple pieces of advice that you could give them? Like where should they, how should they start this? How does your audition form? What does that look like? What are some pieces of advice you could give them?
I would definitely, for a first time, I might, kind of use the classroom setting to help prepare the pieces, doing like a journal prompt, and then they turn that into a monologue, or having them write original pieces and then kind of turn that into performances to create content. For my audition form, I actually use Google Forms for all of my audition forms, and we use Google Classroom at our school. And so I have a Vimes Theater, our theater department, Google Classroom, and I just post the link and the kids fill it out online. And then I have a sheet they have to turn in for a parent signature that just states that the parents understand that they're going to be performing outside of school on this date. And that sort of thing.
You know what? I love the idea of, for if you've never done this before, using the class time to work on the pieces. I think that's a really excellent idea. And as I was sitting here just sort of thinking about what advice would I give? Maybe if you're doing this for the first time, having some narrow parameters too, that might be helpful. Like, you know, say your piece can be no longer than, I don't know, 4 minutes, or if you're doing a scene, 4 minutes, if you're doing a monologue, 2 minutes, just because it gives kids who have never done this before an idea of what's going to happen. Cause your kids probably are really, they're familiar with the process.
Yeah. Yeah. And the sophomores kind of help guide that. And since they've done it multiple times, they kind of help the freshmen figure out like, hey, this would be a really great piece, or this might be a difficult piece, or that sort of thing.
Oh, I like that idea too. Getting that little bit of student leadership in there.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
Ellen, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Of course.
I think that. Well, I just when I saw you talking about it, I was like, you know. That's one of the things that comes up so much is like money is such an issue. Budgets are tight. My department doesn't have a budget.
Right.
And what a great theatrical way to include your students and raise some money at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. So it's super easy. It's super fun. The parents love, especially for the kids who don't usually perform. They love getting to see their kids on stage. So that's why we went to, we originally did one a year and now we're doing two a year.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Ellen. Before we go, let's do some theater folk news. I don't know if it's news anymore, but I'm gonna keep on saying it, that any links to today's episode can be found in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode196. You can also find a transcript there, too. You know, we transcript all our podcasts, which can be really great if you're looking for something specific. Okay, I have a question for you. Are you producing one of our plays? Well, we want to hear about it. We want to hear from you. We want to see a picture. We want maybe a little snippet of video, like 30 seconds of rehearsal footage. We want to hear what's going on. We are doing production features that showcase you. So what are you doing? What are your students doing? What new ideas do you get from using one of our plays? What successes have happened and what struggles have happened? I think those are really important too. I know a lot of teachers, a lot of you guys feel alone in your islands. Maybe you're the only drama teacher in your theater program and, you know, you think, oh, I'm the only person who has this struggle, or am I the only person who has this idea, and is it a crazy one? We're here to tell you no! You are not struggling alone, and you're not crazy, and we want to hear about your experience, and we want to share that experience. All you got to do is send us the info at tfolk@theaterfolk.com. Finally, where oh where can you find this podcast? Go to theaterfolk.com/podcast. There are a ton of ways that you can find us. We are on iTunes, Android, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. All you got to do, theaterfolk.com/podcast. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.